is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
And the time is just about 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's Tuesday night, and that means it's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Hi.
It's off the wall.
It is.
You notice anything different? I'm speaking first again. I'm introing the show. I'm introducing people. I'm saying I'm Emmanuel, and that's Kyle over there.
Yeah.
And I haven't done that. When's the last time I did that? I've been in the guest seat for the last however many months, and now I'm back in the driver's seat.
I like it.
I do, too. Nothing has changed, obviously. We have the same board we've had since 1962, or whenever we got this board. Not for long, though. Not for long. We're getting new equipment.
Yeah. Well, it's been stressing me out. Radio's been stressing me out. I need a break. So, but I helped do other functions, the things I used to help with to prepare to go to air.
We needed the trash can moved from one corner of the room to just next to that corner of the room, and you did that.
Yeah,
I
did.
That was good. And I asked you to close the door, and you did that too. And I think you even switched the lights. You switched the lights from fluorescent to high beam.
Yeah, I helped with delay, which we might use later to take your phone calls.
That's true. We could, in fact, do that. And I think we should, because these are trepidatious times that we find ourselves.
Tumultuous.
Trepidatious. Terrible, you might even
times
say.
Full of terrible trepidation and tumult.
Oh, and there's one more T word I really don't want to say.
Too much to mention.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's, you know,
yeah.
You ever see those films where someone's on their deathbed and the people are comforting them saying, don't worry, it'll be over soon. And that's what the electorate, that's what the people, the citizens of this country are being told. Don't worry, it'll be over soon enough, and then there'll be quiet, peaceful bliss of eternity.
I think it flew by. I mean, I anticipate this stuff well in advance and was following some of it, but I can't believe we're here. I can't believe it's this soon that it will be over, and that's comforting.
You really think this flew by? You really think this was fast?
No.
I think this election has been going on longer than I've been alive, it feels like. I can't remember a period where we weren't talking about it. And that's crazy as far as a political process, but super crazy as far as the participants. Not super crazy as far as most of the participants. One in particular is the super crazy part. It's crazy in general, because these are not the two best people to have running, obviously not.
We could do better.
Anybody can do better. A kindergarten class could do better. But, you know, it comes down to the choice between the two, and it should not. It should be a choice between a lot more than that. Can you imagine the kind of dialogue we'd be having right now if Bernie Sanders was still in the race? The debates?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
No, that, when you have to remember that. Like, you think you keep anticipating we'll get to the issues, but it's no. We're not going to.
No,
that,
just...
We had that opportunity. But it's not what we're going to be talking about. And look,
it's
look finger at what
pointing
we talk about.
Yeah. And just overall lewdness. See, the thing is, I know a lot of people have trouble with Hillary Clinton. I do too. I've railed against Hillary Clinton since the 2008 campaign, when I thought it was a really bad idea to run her. And I'm sure she would have lost against McCain. McCain, what a jerk. I'm going to get into McCain in a second. But in this particular case, you're dealing with a situation where you're trying to pick the best person to get to another day. And either you pick a person who is qualified, or you pick somebody who is busy lighting everything on fire. And that is what Trump is. That I'm sure people who for some reason like him will never see that. And there's nothing we can really say to convince them. All we can try to do is get more people out there to outvote them. And so far, you know, it seems hopeful. All the polls seem to indicate that he is falling apart. But we have 3 weeks to go. Is it 3 weeks?
Pretty much.
Yeah. From tonight. Oh, my God. And all kinds of things can happen. And they're certainly not for lack of trying. I mean, all these released emails and supposed scandals. You know, I see people acting two-faced. I see people saying not very nice things. Nothing that surprises me for a politician of Hillary Clinton's ilk. But the things that do bother me, and I think bother most people, are the statements from that other candidate that just basically demean people and make himself holier than them and just basically reveal him to be the scumbag that we all thought he was. That's troublesome. And you know, I don't think you'll ever find anything like that from Hillary Clinton. You'll find other things, other disturbing things. But keep in mind the people that will come with her, the mentality that will come with her, and how we've been changing over the last 8 years and how we will continue to change in that direction. Not everything has been good. And yeah, you know, we know that it's clear. We knew that from the start that not everything was going to be good. But if you go in a different direction, believe me, things can be so much worse.
Yeah. And you could say that Hillary is a meantime vote, you know, a president for the meantime until we have a better option. But I think that when you think that way, you're doing a lot of disservice. You're diminishing and reducing her commitment to public service. We can't forget that. I really think that is easily lost in those comparisons and the passion. I'm not underestimating the ferocity of the Republican side or people who are dissatisfied with the Democratic side, but we can't forget the seriousness and the lack of a comparison here when you really boil down the credentials.
Yeah, you know, if there was anybody else, if there was any of the other candidates that Republicans were putting forth, anybody, Chris Christie, Ted Cruz, Carly Fiorina, even, I think they would be doing much, much better against Hillary Clinton. And I think there'd be real concern that the country was going to go in a different direction. But someone like Trump, it's a joke. I have to every day check to see if that was a dream, and it's real. Every time it's real. Yes, that really happened. Yes, he really said that. Yes, this is what people are actually seriously considering. And it makes you wonder. I'm really curious what the rest of the world thinks about how we do things here. I have no answer. I don't know how these things come about. I do know we have a flawed political system, and I know if we were talking about issues and actually dealing with people who were skilled in what they were talking about, and not so much of a TV personality, we might actually get somewhere. We might actually see some changes. I don't know. And maybe this is what it'll take. I said this back in 2000, you know, with the Electoral College nonsense where the popular vote lost. Maybe that will be enough to change the system. And I say it again, maybe Trump will be enough to change the system. But I don't know. We seem to have short memories.
Yeah, people don't stay committed to politics. They're perennial. They're they get interested. They participate, but then kind of go away. It's not something we practice as much as we should, I think, as a civic duty to continue to follow these things and affect things, affect the process even in non-presidential cycles and so on.
Yeah. There were two debates since we were on last. We were preempted last week, but we had the vice presidential debate 2 weeks
yes.
ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone
said it was boring.
Well, yeah, I didn't think it was that boring. I thought Kane was really, you know, he was a real bulldog there. You know?
Yeah, he was pretty ferocious. he had a lot to say, a lot of interjection.
And I thought he won, but everybody seems to think that Pence won. The debate.
It was said.
Yeah, people were saying.
People were saying, and I was hearing.
And he was boring. I thought, you know, he was just basically not answering any of the questions. He wasn't doing any actual issue covering. I guess is the way to phrase that. I don't know. It wasn't that boring to me. But we had the other debate on a week ago Sunday. That was the town hall, quote unquote town hall debate. It
yes.
wasn't much of a town hall because it was so regimented. Town halls, people are constantly standing up, interrupting each other, and you know, it's participation in the whole room. here you had the only participation was Trump basically looming over Hillary Clinton and looking intimidating and not really answering any questions at all. I'm hoping tomorrow's debate, the last one, we might actually get some issues talked about. Maybe global warming, you know, it'd be nice to talk about that, you know, actually address it.
I think the town hall format served her really well. Because she took the opportunity to step in front of him and also just engage, like get right in with the voters there. And that is that humanization that I think she's gotten a lot better at.
So yeah.
It was a good opportunity, and she was able to just basically brush him aside. And it looked great.
Well, here's the thing. I think 3 weeks it's over.
Uh-huh.
Well, at least 3 weeks the voting part is over. And I don't know. I don't know what happens after that. After that, God forbid, we get Trump as the victor. I can't even imagine what will happen in this country as a result of that. I can't imagine the reaction. I can't imagine the policies. I can't imagine our standing in the rest of the world.
The one certitude, I think, is that it will not go the way anyone expects.
Mm-hmm.
But it might look a lot like maybe what you fear, I think, in my opinion.
You know, I think what will happen, you saw Pence today touring the firebombed office of the RNC in
That's
North
right.
Carolina.
There was an attack.
There was an attack, yeah. Somebody, we don't know who. There was also an attack on the DNC office, too. Someone spray painted something there in North Carolina. Nobody's talking about that.
That's plausible. I believe that.
You know, it could be somebody just fed up with the whole system. I don't know. But obviously, this isn't the kind of thing that anybody with intelligence condones. But Pence was there today, looking presidential. And I think that's what you're going to see more of if they, in fact, win, is Pence being
pushed
shoved out there into the limelight.
To the fore, yeah.
And Trump just sort of, you know, we hear from him when it's necessary, but he's not really, he's being protected, mostly. Protected from the media, protected from the public, and we, in turn, are protected from him. And, yeah, you know what? When you have to do that with your candidate, what does it say for your position? You know, what does it say for what you believe in, what you stand for? If this guy isn't front and center all the time, then everybody is a bunch of hypocrites.
I see that this symbol being more than the man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, what else could it be? That what he represents is more important than the actual person there.
I don't think he even knows what he represents.
He'd be a wax figure.
He's tapping into something. He's tapping into frustration, which a lot of people feel, obviously. But he is not the answer to that. And I don't know why people cannot see that. A multi-billionaire is not the person to solve your poverty issues. It's not
going
to
happen. Would have
been,
what, right, the first thing that you'd
yeah, not going to happen. No way.
Evaluate and say, you know what? I don't really think this guy
yeah
lives like me. And wants the things I want, you know, immediate things.
It's more of a no against Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And, I also don't understand the hostility against her from people that I think would sympathize with the things that she's done over the years, the struggles she's faced and the hurdles she's jumped over. I can see people being opposed to policies, mostly on the left, actually. I don't see why there's such passionate hatred towards her from working class people. I don't get that.
Like resentment? She's responsible for Bill's tenure or something? Yeah, I get that too.
Well, even he did more for the working class than certainly his...
There were certainly mistakes and probably things that in retrospect don't work, but...
They came from Arkansas, for God's sake, you know?
Yeah, what kind of expectations do we have here?
Anyway,
overblown.
Yeah. So now if Hillary wins, I also see problems. I also see trouble because I don't think the result is going to be accepted. And based on what Trump has been saying over the past couple of weeks about how the whole system is rigged and how there's all this voter fraud, which nobody is aware of. He's aware of it. People are saying, yeah, we hear you, but we don't see any evidence of this. It's really, really hard to throw a presidential election. And if it were attempted, I think we would find out about it pretty quickly. Don't think there's all these dead people voting for the Democrats. I think that's just urban legend. But people are going to believe that. People are going to say after November 8th that the whole system was rigged against them and the election's been stolen. And I don't know what kind of reaction he's going to be encouraging at that point. I don't see a graceful concession speech. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, because I don't see him with a... He doesn't have a lot of the structure. I mean, what structure would be in place? He's certainly alienated himself from the Republican Party. So what avenues do you then pursue? Will he sue the institutions that, you know, basically all the districts and so on? I mean, how... Or I think it'll be more like, or will it be media? Will it be the reporting then, you know, becomes under prosecution or something because they were somehow involved in misleading at certain times? Who knows? But certainly he's trying to set up a scenario that is like his big thing now, and a dream, I think, would be to actually get traction with that. But what would that be? I mean, people, I guess, what historically have we had? I mean, we haven't had a lot of examples of people disrupting or protesting an election. Usually there is a process of handing over power one way or another. So gosh, keep an eye on that. But what one wonders what is possible or what the intent, how it will manifest.
Yeah, I just wish all this outrage were coming from a different source. I wish, you know, people on the left of the spectrum were angrier and more demanding of change, and that was a direction that that they were pushing things.
And cooperated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, around real things.
That's like the problem with the left, is that they are always condemning each other, and they never get around to condemning the real enemy. And that is why we keep moving to the right, or not to the left far enough.
It appears more disorganized than it is, though. I think there's a sentiment and a virtuous sort of consciousness of people, that of the electorate, that will do the right thing. That's what we trust this system to provide.
Well,
ultimately,
I don't think it's ever been more important than now. And if you don't get out and vote, it's a bad decision. Let's put it that way.
Because what are you for?
You're letting other people make your decision for you. And yeah, it might not be the decision you want to make, but it's still a decision either way. And you have to get out there and show up, because if people don't show up, you know, I'm saying if Trump loses 2-1, okay, that's great. But that's still a lot of people that believe in him. And that's disturbing, because the things he says are so horrible. Hmm. It's neo-fascism. There is no other word for it. And to have 1/3 of the voting public be for neo-fascism is extremely disturbing. And for it to be closer to 1/2, or God forbid, even to be the majority, we could be seeing the end of this little experiment called the United States.
In many different ways, and it may, definite change from the direction I think a lot of people thought we were going.
But we are. That's the thing. We are going in that direction, which is why there's this backlash against it. You have health care now. You have minimum wage rising. You have more people being included in the process. You have intelligent conversation.
Right, right.
And that really bugs a lot of people who want to maintain control. Yes, there's a lot that we're not getting that is being done in the wrong way. We will focus on that. November 9th, I promise, we will focus on that. But for now, we need to prevent the bus from going off the cliff, okay? And then we can worry about who the best driver is afterwards, after we avoid that curve. I said I was going to get to McCain. Let me get to McCain.
Yes.
This is the headline that I saw. Senator McCain says Republicans will block all court nominations if Clinton wins.
Whoa.
Yeah, this guy is a jerk. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's a war hero. Everybody respects him. I don't. You have to earn respect, not just once, a bunch of times. And this guy is a jerk. He is basically saying that if Hillary Clinton wins, they will never nominate a Supreme Court justice that she picks. Now, you know, he should be thrown out of the Senate just for making that promise, because he's saying he's not going to do his job. He's just going to sit in the corner and fold his arms and refuse to do anything because his candidate didn't win. His candidate, by the way, who's insulting him left and right and calling him all kinds of names, whatever. That's, you know, that's your bad decision right there. Government is about working together. It's about compromise. And the Democrats certainly have done their share of compromising. we cannot have what we've been having over the last few years, where basically nothing gets done because Republicans don't want to do anything, and they refuse to recognize the legitimacy of a legitimately elected president. That is not something we should accept anymore. And McCain is basically saying, he said this on a radio program in Philadelphia, he pledged to obstruct any Clinton Supreme Court nomination for the current or any future vacancy. I promise you that we will be united against any Supreme Court nominee that Hillary Clinton, if she were president, would put up. He said that's why it's so important that Republicans retain control of the Senate, because he wants to make it just like the House, you know, where the House basically won't do anything that the Democrats suggest because everything the Democrats say is wrong. Everything Barack Obama stands for is wrong. We can't have such children running things. It's detrimental. It's why we can't get anything done. So this guy needs to be thrown out. I can't stress this anymore. And anybody that thinks this way, that basically their role in government is simply to block people who disagree with them and not get anything done, that is, you know, you might as well throw more Molotov cocktails into more places, because it's the same effect. You're destroying everything by having this mentality. So John McCain, jerk number one, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Wow. You can really look at this as the root of the stagnation and inertia, lack thereof, or, you know.
That's it, yeah.
The status quo has been this, and he wants to go on from what has been a dozen to now two decades of obstinate obstructionism led by him and his grouchy ways.
Yeah, and it's like you said, it's how they do it's the Republican Party.
Way to go, Arizona. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Won't be going there soon. Ever.
Well, there's a lot of states you probably won't be going to.
I know. It's a fluid list.
But the states that need to be won by Trump in order to have any chance are states like Ohio, Florida, North Carolina. And I think he's behind in all of them. But that, like I said, that could change. We have 3 weeks to go. And all kinds of things are being revealed and said. I think the more he says, though, the better it is for the Democrats. The more he's on camera, it's probably a good thing. People realize, wow, this is insane. And, you know, I got to say, I have learned to respect so many Republicans over the last couple of months, because they're taking stands for what they believe in, which is not what their party is endorsing. And that takes a certain amount of guts. You see what's happening to Paul Ryan. Can't really say I respect him. But, you know, the fact that you stand up to somebody, yeah, that does mean something. That does mean something. At least I will respect you for the moment that you did that. And then if you turn around and endorse him a week later, okay, you lose my respect at that point. You have to re-earn it one more time. So there are a lot of people out there that that have some degree of standards. And they're basically... While they don't agree with a lot of what other people say, they're standing up for what they believe in, and I always respect that.
Yeah, John Boehner, I saw an interview with him, and he had sort of humorous religion about the whole thing, being that he's away from it somewhat now. It's kind of interesting to hear the perspective of someone who I think also obstructed a bit in that role, but. For whatever reasons, it's interesting. So yeah, there's a lot of leadership from unlikely places. People that just refute this ideology as something that we're going to entertain.
Yeah, three more weeks though. Three more weeks.
Some people can hold their breath that long.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, the next one will start. People will start talking about that. I guess next year. Who
knows? Gosh, really? We'll cross that bridge when we get
there. Well, okay. I'd like to open things up to listeners. We are, by the way, this is Radiothon. However, no one's here to answer the phones.
So you could be a Buzzbee, a Wuzby, or a Sea Squirrel, or a Lifetime Lemur.
Yeah, but you can't right now, at least not on the phone, because there's nobody to answer the phone. When that changes, we will take pledge calls. But right now, we'll take phone calls for on the air. We're not going to take your credit card number on the air. That's why we're taking phone calls just for on air purposes. 631-632-6901 is our phone number. And we'll hop into delay if we see some calls come in. But if people want to spout off about anything that we've been talking about so far, feel free. We're here for that purpose. 631-632-6901. These are the phone lines where I've met Trump supporters. And it's, you know, they're few and far between, at least in my world. There are a lot of them out there. But to actually converse with them, it's hard. I mean, I saw at the Michael Moore thing a few weeks ago, I saw a few.
They are a rare breed.
Uh-huh.
In some circles.
All right, I'm going to we're getting some phone calls. I'm going to go into delay, and we'll see how this works because I haven't done this in quite a while. Mm-hmm. Pray for me, and we're going to play an ID, and then we'll come back, and we'll be 7 seconds in the past.
Hi, this is Frederick Hand. Whenever I'm out in Long Island and I want to hear the best music, I turn to WUSB Stony Brook.
And here we are, 7 seconds in the past. Did that work? I think that worked. Kyle, did you make it into delay land?
Yeah. Wow. Oh,
You're in delay. Okay.
That sounds good.
All right. We're both here.
We should do this more often.
631-632-6901 is our phone number. Shall we take this phone call? Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. What's on your mind?
I'm Joseph from Mastic, and I was wondering, I agree with you, it's possible that Trump could win, but it seems not probable. Can you imagine a graceful speech from him?
Yeah.
It's clear that he hasn't won, congratulating Hillary.
That's what we were trying to do before. We were trying to imagine that.
Yeah, we both wondered about this. What would that be like? Is that even... Can he say nice words like that, or even just the words?
Right now, he keeps on talking about the rigged election. I'm wondering if he's going to just
use that platform.
Look, I lost because it was a rigged election.
Right, right.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people will try to muzzle him from doing that, but he's the one that's going to take the stage the night of November 8th and say something, and I don't know if they'll be able to stop him. And then you have all these people that he's basically lit a fire underneath, and I don't know what they're going to do. How are they going to react on November 9th? How are they going to react in 2017 and beyond? It's something to really be concerned about. And of course, the other thing to be concerned about is how do they react if they win? What happens then?
Or how do they react to riot police? Mm-hmm. And gas and dogs and water cannons? You know?
The only other thing I was going to say is I was wondering, and I did miss it, like 5 minutes of the show, if you had mentioned the story in the Times about Trump TV is being set up, that if he loses, he's going to have his own network.
Wait, I thought that was a joke. That's real?
Sorry.
Where did you hear that?
It was in the New York Times that one of his sons is already in negotiations trying to set up Trump TV.
I could see that happening. In fact, that's what I sort of thought was happening all along. I thought all this might have been just a big promo for a TV network, because that's pretty much how it was being treated the whole way through. That would be interesting. That would definitely be interesting. It would give Fox News a run for the money, wouldn't it?
Oh, he'd be to the right of Fox.
Didn't think that was possible.
Well, this year's been full of surprises.
It sure has, and I can't wait for it to be over.
Well, thanks so much for taking the call.
Thank you for calling. And call from Mastic out east. Good to hear from people out there. 631-632-6901 if you have any thoughts.
Indeed, yeah. Thanks for that call. We'll see indeed. But I'm also with you. I really cannot wait. I'm excited to, you know, see a different type of leadership and a different course, I'm sure. We'll have that.
I just want to see it end.
Oh, well, yeah. The politics, the campaigning, the pundits, I'm really sick
one
of.
Way or another. Let's take another phone call.
Yes.
Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Oh, the phone's still ringing somehow. Okay, let's try this one. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how's everybody this evening?
We're good. We're good. How are you?
Glad to hear it. I just want to mention, how do I say this? I think you guys really need to relax. He's not going to win, okay? He's just not. Yeah, he's getting a lot of people up in arms.
Dude, I'm on morphine right now, okay? I can't relax anymore. I'm trying. Believe me, if I wasn't, I would be going through the roof. Yeah, I'm sitting down again. Sorry.
The man and all of that. This is nonsense. I mean, it's good. What do they call it? It's good strategy on her part to get people to believe that sort of stuff. I mean, whether he said it or not, I don't care.
Right.
That's not really how I'd base a president on what he said. I just wouldn't. but he's not going to win. Okay.
Well, okay, but I'd like to know, how are you so sure?
I just think that he's not. Calmer heads, cooler heads, smarter heads will prevail.
Wait a minute. Are you calling from Canada?
No, actually. Well, it begins with a C. I'm in Quorum.
Okay, I don't see how you could live in the United States and say that, that cooler heads will prevail.
No, that's a good
attitude.
How
many wars have we gotten into in the last just 10 years?
Well, that's true, too. I mean, I'm not gonna pull any punches. I'm not a big Hillary supporter either.
He's talking about the now, though. Uh-huh. He's saying right now,
either one of them,
cooler heads will prevail, right?
Lesser of two evils, if you will.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm worried about people that say they both suck. I'm not going to vote for either. And yeah, you know, I agree they both suck, but they both suck in different levels, completely different levels. You know, one is a Hoover vacuum cleaner of a galactic proportion, and the other is just, one of those catfish at the bottom of a tank.
I was on that I'm not going to vote fence for about 3 or 4 months, and then I realized if something bad happens, mm-hmm. I can blame nobody but myself, and that's not cool either.
What is it that turned you around, that made you come to that realization?
That I had to do, you have to be a part of the system. It's not a perfect system. It isn't. I mean, that whole two-party bit, there needs to be a lot more change. I'm sorry, what's the word I'm looking for? It needs to be a lot more, I don't want to say variety. That's not really the word for
diversity.
It needs to be other alternatives, mm-hmm. I guess, if you will.
Other perspectives, other platforms.
Perspectives, I'm having a hard time, but it just needs to be more, okay? And it just seems to me that if I don't get off my carcass and vote either way, whatever happens, I didn't help.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be a part of that process to hopefully make it work.
Right. You're complicit in the apathy for that system, which it may be tempting, but it's not worthwhile in the long run, because it is.
Sure, I could stay home or watch TV that night or something like that, and then, you know, and then have something really bad happen and sit back and say, you know what? Wow, I might have changed something. There's a good chance that I didn't, but if a lot of people are like me and they sit on the couch and don't do anything, that's exactly what, Emmanuel, it's what you said. There are people that are afraid of that.
Yeah, I'd like to address the people that believe that and ask them, do you really think in 2000, if Gore had won instead of Bush,
right,
would things have been exactly the same, or might they have been just a little bit better? Or do you really think they would have been worse? I think they would have been better. I think a lot of things wouldn't happen. I think we probably wouldn't have gotten involved in Iraq, certainly not in as stupid a way. A lot more of us would be alive right now. So there's that to consider. You might think they're both bad, but there's degrees of bad.
Of course there is. And like you said, you can't, you know, complain about it, jump up and down and complain about it, and not try to do anything about it or try to make the situation better.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for your call, and thanks for phrasing it so well.
I did the best I could, but
okay.
Yeah, I got tongue-tied. But yeah. It just seems to me that smarter heads will prevail. It's just that simple. He's not going to be in. And to be honest with you, I don't really think that he wanted the job to begin with.
Yeah, I get that, too. Like he's trying everything he can to basically blow up his campaign, and it's not working. It's like if you're watching South Park currently, same thing is happening. The Trump-ish candidate is trying to do everything possible to hand it to the opposition. It's just not working. No matter what, people just keep rallying behind him.
Rallying behind the troops. Yeah, I just don't think he really wanted it. And I mean, I was talking to a couple of my buddies not too long ago, and after this I'll let, you know, somebody else have a turn. He's actually going to come out of this a lot richer. He'll make all kinds of goofy speeches and things like that. And if anything, it really didn't hurt him and gave him something to do for a little while, and which is kind of sad if you think about it, you know.
I heard the opposite. I heard that this is hurting his brand quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah, so I don't know. I kind of want that to happen, because he's been just so negative and so bad. such a hateful person. I do want to see a price paid for that, because
I'll give you that too. He is a very hateful person.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
All right. Hey, thanks again for the call.
All right. Not a problem, guys.
All right. And that's going to do it for the calls we're taking today. We'll be using the phone line, though. We'll be using the phone line for pledges, because I see Bob Longman is in the studio. And he's picking up the phone already. okay, well, we haven't yet said it, but if you're calling now, if you're calling 631-632-6901 now, we expect you to make a pledge to the radio station. And Bob Long is not going to let you hang up unless you make a pledge.
And there's a lot of thank you gifts and prestige that come along with your donation.
Well, can I just say, it's so vitally important. We don't do this very often, but it's so incredibly important that people support this radio station. You may know we've been preempted on the other radio station now for 3 weeks in a row. And I don't want to get into that right now. Maybe at a future point we will. Here I just think things are handled in such a professional way. As far as getting premiums to people, as far as having programs scheduled during fundraisers, that we are able to talk about the things we're talking about at this tumultuous period of time in our history. And that is vital. That is something that's it's a privilege to be able to do. It's not a right. It's something that not many people have access to. I wish more people did. I wish there were more voices, more outlets, but there aren't. That's why it's important to support a place like WUSB, where diverse voices and all kinds of music from around the globe and throughout history can be heard, things you will not hear on commercial radio. That is why it's so essential for you to step in, call 631-632-6901, pledge whatever you can, and keep this voice on the air. Keep these many voices on the air. Radio stations can change lives. Radio programs can change lives. You can become involved yourself. And by doing so, you ensure that future generations of people will have the opportunity to take part in some of what you've taken part in. 631-632-6901.
Yeah, I mean, I got involved in audio production in college. I think I got a D. I was a passing grade. But I will say that responsibility is something that is why I'm probably my own worst critic. And we try hard and we evolve. We're growing. There's a lot of people that get the opportunity to be on the air and help produce shows or do live events and other sorts of active community things. And those opportunities, they set people in certain directions. They give you a voice. They let you try to master something, mm-hmm, and it's not easy. The technical side, and as well as keeping the conversation going and having that dialogue with the listeners and people here is it's an art, and it's something that we take pretty seriously. So by supporting community radio, you're supporting us to have this platform and to give you that platform as a byproduct of our involvement.
631-632-6901. You know, this place went on the air in 1977, my freshman year at Stony Brook, actually. What a great way to get started at a university, to see a radio station, brand new radio station, going on the air and just reaching such a huge area, you know, a good part of Long Island and Connecticut. And now, today, so many years later, this place not only is still here, but we broadcast on the internet now and can reach people all throughout the world. We get calls from all over the place now. And even in far-flung lands, people realize the importance of a radio station like WUSB. Sure, the weather forecast might not apply to you, but the ideas and the music and just the overall experience that we're going through here is something that people from all over the world can identify with. And we ask all of our listeners, wherever you happen to be, to give a call to 631-632-6901 and pledge any amount. I'll give you an example of what we're talking about here. The other radio station, I don't want to put down the other radio station. I love that station too, but right now we're having some issues. We are expected to bring in, I say, about $1,000, maybe $2,000 an hour at that place.
Easily.
Here, our goal is $25 for the hour. $25 is, you know, that's what we're expected to bring in. And here's what I'm going to do to show you the importance of people power, okay? $25, that's, you know, of course, we're expecting everybody to raise $25 per hour. That includes somebody who's on at 4 in the morning. It might be a little harder to bring it in then.
But for scale.
For scale, yeah.
The scale is,
the pressure is not overbearing on you, and you're not punished if you do things in a certain way. It's a lot more of a friendly atmosphere.
The orders of magnitude mm-hmm. are many folds smaller.
So $25 is what is considered success for raising funds for this particular hour. What I'm going to do, I'm going to pledge a matching fund of $100, and this matching fund can go for multiple people. So if several people pledge an amount that adds up to $100, then that's an additional $100 to the station. So if we get one person pledging $100 or three people pledging $33.33 or whatever, then the station has suddenly brought in $200 in that same period of time. That is people power. That's how it works. That's how we can band together and build something really important and incredible. And right now, we're involved in a move. We're going to be going to a new facility within, I'd say, 6 months or so.
Yes, and it's a very bright future.
It is.
That the station is planning, and there are a lot of gears, a lot of people working behind the scenes to prepare and create this new space, and it is going to be remarkable. There's really a lot of effort going into that, and it's going to be a thing of beauty. It's going to be really a spaceship, a real work of art.
It really is. It's going to be like starting over again.
And it will last for many, many years to come and provide many more opportunities. So.
Now, I just have to say one thing, and this is a sad fact. But the sad fact is we only have one Bob Longman, all right? We only have one. And right now we have three phone calls coming in.
Oh.
So if you're calling and the phone is ringing, it's not that we don't care. It's not that we hate you or anything like that. It's just that Bob is all tied up right now taking another phone call. And this is our humble reality here. We have one person in the tally room taking phone calls, doing the best job he can.
But he's fast.
And we have three phone calls coming in. So, yeah, please be patient and call back. But I think we're going to make that matching fund.
Yeah, Bob is fast like a lemur.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
A lifetime lemur or a seawolf.
631-632-6901 is the phone number. Please continue calling. It's good to see this kind of response.
Can I talk about special membership levels?
Please, give some member levels so people can pledge for.
I mentioned that earlier. We've talked about it in the past. There are several different levels. The WUSB, like a bumblebee.
Really, Kyle?
Yeah,
really?
I made the sound.
Uh-huh.
that's a 90.10 dollar pledge at $90.10. Then the sea squirrel level is a $250 pledge
because we're 90.1. That's for people that don't know that.
That's right. That's our frequency. A 1 year WUSB membership, you become a sea squirrel at the $250 level, and of course our 5 year.
Wait. Sea squirrel, is that because we were infested with squirrels here in the studio? That's why we named...
We have a special relationship with squirrels.
This is how we operate here at this. We get squirrels coming through the roof, and now we name a pledge level after them.
That's right. And, of course, I can't forget to mention the five-year, which is after the Stony Brook mascot, the Seawolf level. That's $500, as well as the lifetime lemur, which it's up there. I can't quite see it from here. I think it is... It's like $5,000. What does that get you? Well, you become a member. In that case, a lifetime lemur. That's forever. That's for your lifetime.
Wow.
And what you get as a member is invites to the WUSB anniversary and special events. The radio. What other events? I can't think of it. Stuff that was going on on campus at the university cafe. Let's see, live in
studio
broadcast.
I don't get out much, but
access to private live studio broadcast. That's cool. So
okay.
If we have special events here in the studio, you might be invited or aware of that.
Phone lines are open, I'm told. Phone lines are now open. Bob Longman is available to take another phone call if you want to make him run all the way across the room. 631-632-6901. And pledge whatever you can afford. Remember, I'm matching up to $100, so we'll bring in $200 this hour easily.
Lastly, with memberships, special ticket giveaways. Really? You could be included. So something like a sports game here on campus, stuff at the Wang Center, Staller events, you name it, you could be eligible. You'll get notified and ways to participate through that membership. But the important thing is your money goes to practical things like power and telecommunications, stuff that keeps our voices coming to you.
Yeah, literally every bit of electronic equipment we have to get somehow. And the amount of funds that we have available pretty much dictates what we can get, how good a piece of equipment we're able to allocate funds for. And everything here is used. Everything here is used to the best of its ability. And it's good to see it work. It's good to see things actually come together. 631-632-6901. Please keep your calls coming in and support WUSB. We don't have fundraisers very often at this place, and our needs are humble, and we make do on so little. We really do. It's a miracle. It really is a miracle this place has continued for so long. And now we're going to continue in a new location. We're going to have some upgrades. And, you know, we're in the middle of, we can tell people this, we're digitizing the CD library.
Every single CD.
Oh my God.
That the station ever got.
We have two robots, that work round the clock. And what they do is they take a CD and they check out grace notes and see what kind of data exists for that CD. And if it's something that matches, then, it gets logged and encoded and moves on to the next one. Now, we've done about close to 25,000 so far, but you know we're not even halfway done. We're not even halfway done. But it's an incredible feeling just to see that happening, to see that particular step in our progress be made.
Yeah, it's the it is the station when you really think about it. It is all of the music and new music that, you know, was coming in, but also a lot of stuff that people have contributed and built up, and that is important to keep with the station as we enter a new facility.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just leave everything behind or pack up everything and say, oh, well, we don't use CDs anymore, so we don't need this, or whatever the item or equipment may be. It's part of going through that sort of constant perpetual process that you get to a new place, and you can take advantage of all that media and thus be more valuable, because we will have a much more comprehensive library after this.
Yeah, it's important to embrace the future. Think of all the new modern things we can be doing, but at the same time, don't let go of the past. We have a massive tape library of things that we've recorded over the years. We have, as we've been talking about, the I guess close to 100,000 CDs that we have. We have, I think, 50,000 vinyl records. Again, such history, such amazing. We recently had a show in the Fine Arts Center that was basically comprised of covers. You know, the actual artwork of many of these LPs that came out.
Curated from our vinyl library.
People are fascinated by these kinds of things, but they only exist in environments that value them. And WUSB has always been that kind of environment. We treasure the past, we embrace the future, and we're always trying something different. But in order to continue doing that, we have to stay on the air, we have to pay the bills, and your phone call, 631-632-6901, along with our matching pledges and whatever else we can do, that's what makes it possible. We're doing this whole CD encoding thing just out of craziness and love. You know, nothing else. We're not getting a penny for this, and have some nightmares as a result of doing it for so long.
Yeah, I got a cut the other day.
You got a cut from a CD.
Yeah,
you know,
those jewel cases are sharp.
Whoever designed CD cases, I would like to meet that person. I really would, because you know they don't last. You open them up. You know, I'm talking about the hard plastic ones. They're in two pieces as soon as you open them up. They don't connect anymore, and sometimes they break and they cut you, and the CD doesn't stay in. Little tiny bits of plastic all over the place.
Oh, and the center thing. Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing, you know, a couple things to you guys that put out CDs. Put your damn name on the CD, okay? You might think it's cool to put a flower on there instead and not tell us who you are, but guess what? We're not going to encode it if we don't know who you are. You know, if there's no match anywhere, or there are just so many things. That you have a CD package that is a puzzle. You have to figure out how to open it. You know, that's not going to work either for us. We have to go through thousands of these things in a day.
Yeah.
We don't have time to figure out how to open your CD.
Yeah, it might be a cool art piece, but think about ergonomics and practicality.
Yeah, yeah.
Industrial design is not something to take lightly.
No, it's not. It really is not. All right, thank you people for calling in. We'll be back again next week. Remember, the craziness that we call our election cycle is still happening. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your ideas. We'd like to consider alternatives. Write to us, otw@2600.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts and views. Nobody is wrong. Nobody has unacceptable opinions. We want to hear them all. We want to talk about them. We want to hash them all out. And please continue calling 631-632-6901. There you go. And keep this place going. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm on the phone.
Hello.
Hello.
You know, sometimes we're not prepared for adversity. For adversity. For adversity. For adversity. When it happens, sometimes we're caught short. We don't know exactly how to handle it. Sometimes we don't know.
First, I'd like to ask you a few questions.
That's very important.
Do you know who I am?
I don't know.
Is it true?
I don't know. I don't know.
Are you being coy?
Well, I don't know.
Don't get me mad.
We only want to ask you a couple of questions.
Do you know him?
I really don't know.
Who else was with you?
I don't know.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Do you think I had something to do with this?
Don't be afraid.
You understand?
I'm trying to help, that's all. That's all. But you must cooperate.
What?
All right. Let's start all over again.
Do you have anything to say?
I don't know. I need some information.
I want you to tell me the truth.
I want to just be able to trust you. You know, it's about trust.
You understand that?
You understand?
I don't know.
Sometimes I don't know all the answers.
Perhaps this photograph will refresh your memory.
Who else was with you?
I think I had something to do with this.
Don't be afraid. You understand? I'm trying to help, that's all. That's all. But you must cooperate.
Three.
Absolutely refuse.